you'd like, you may have your Bible open to the 103rd Psalm. We're going to spend almost the entire time tonight looking at this particular Psalm. It is good that we can be together again this afternoon, thankful for the presence of each one. As we study the 103rd Psalm, it is a Psalm that David wrote. And when you look at it as a whole, I think what you see is David's appreciation for the Lord's mercy. And we'll notice that as we look at this Psalm. And it also helps us to understand our relationship to God and God's relationship to us. And David, I think, as he describes, as he writes this psalm, that becomes very clear as well. Who God is and who we are in relation to God. And what a wonderful, merciful God that we serve. Elijah read for us the first five verses. And I want to just start out by looking at the first two verses. And then we'll look at the last three verses of this chapter. These verses each say, "Bless the Lord." That is used in each one of these particular verses. And that word "bless" here just simply carries with it the idea of praising the Lord. And so as David begins this psalm, he begins the psalm by praising the Lord. The idea is kneeling down before the Lord, saluting the Lord, praising Him for who He is. And as you begin, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." So David is saying that with all of his soul, all that's within him, he is praising the Lord, blessing His name. His name is holy. I want us to look at the last three verses as he concludes this psalm. He concludes the psalm in the very same way, by saying, "Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all of you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And so what we have is a psalm of praise. David praising the Lord. He's saying the angels praise the Lord. His host, his ministers, praise the Lord. And then coupled or in between these verses, there are several things that I want us to consider. We see David's awareness of the Lord. Beginning in verse 3, David talks about the benefits of the Lord. As a matter of fact, as verse 2 concludes, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And then he begins to list the benefits that we receive because of the Lord. Verse 3, notice the benefits. "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And so, as David says, let's praise the Lord with everything that we have. And as we're praising Him, let's be aware of the benefits of the Lord. He forgives us. And we know that. Sometimes I'm not sure that, I'll just speak for myself. Sometimes maybe I don't appreciate that the way that I should. The Lord forgives. The Lord heals. He redeems us. He redeems us from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And I think of Isaiah when you read that particular verse. And so David says, consider or see the benefits of the Lord. And then he talks about the righteousness of the Lord. In verses 6 and 7, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. And so David recognizes that the Lord, He is righteous. He will bring justice upon those who have been oppressed. He'll bring justice to those who have oppressed and to those who are oppressed. And he references Moses and how he cared for the children of Israel. And then in verses 8, continuing for several verses, he talks about the mercy of the Lord. To me, these verses are some of the, I don't want to say I appreciate them more than, maybe they touch me in a way more than others, simply because it's pointing out who we are and the fact that the Lord knows who we are and He's merciful toward us. Beginning with verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. I want to go back and just take a few minutes and look at each of these verses. What David understood was that the God that he served was a merciful God. I am thankful that we serve a merciful God. He's not a God that is looking out trying to find wrong, and when He finds us doing wrong, He just wants to zap us or wipe us out, as it were. He's merciful. He's gracious. Can He become? Absolutely, He can be angry. But David says He's slow to anger. Verse 10, he says, He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. If I were to just simply ask you, what would be the justified way to deal with sin? And I would say, think of what Romans chapter 6, verse 23 teaches. You see, the wages of sin is death. But because a person sins, the Lord doesn't destroy that person. He's merciful. And I think that's the idea there in verse 10. He hasn't dealt with us according. If He had dealt with us according to our sins, we wouldn't be alive. In describing the mercy of God, David says, as the heavens are high above the earth, And you just think of the vastness that exists between the earth and the heavens. David says, so great is His mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And then he talks about a father and child relationship. And those of us who are fathers, surely we can understand this. I can remember, as a father pities his child or his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. Can you think back as a father or as a mother where your children were disobedient? And yet, you took pity on them. There is one vivid memory that I have when my oldest daughter was about 2 or 3 years old. And it was bedtime. We had had company. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we were exhausted, and the children had been up, and they were exhausted too. And we got ready for bed, and I put Laura and Melanie in bed, and Laura was telling me that she wasn't sleepy. Well, I was about to pass out. And I was telling her, well, I understand, but I said, you know, you're going to need to lie down. Well, Daddy, I'm not sleepy. Well, that's okay. But you lie down and don't you get out of the bed. Those were the last words that I spoke. And I turned to walk to the door to turn out the light. And I heard, shoop, feet coming. I looked around and here she's coming behind me. So I turn around and I take her and I put her back in the bed. And I said, Laura, I told you not to get out of the bed.